Hi there, and welcome to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. Pastor Joe Jackowitz is the president of First Love Ministries and pastor of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. With him are Rich Homeris and Bobby Hamlin, meeting up in a casual setting for conversation around God's Word, the Bible. Join us now for Bible Talk with Pastor Joe.
Welcome to our gathering here at a local cafe. You can hear some rustling in the background, some noise. There's always a place for you here at our table as we talk about God and His Word on Bible Talk. Hi, I'm Rich Homeris.
And I'm Bobby Hamlin. And yes, we're so happy to have you join us as we continue to meet to dig into the Bible. Now today we're continuing with our look at Psalm 51, which can be described as a cry of confession, of repentance, and a plea for forgiveness to God by David, a believer who had sinned. Now, we are into our study. We've been doing some study on this in our past podcasts. If you've missed any segment of this series or would like to listen again or invite someone else to listen, just go to firstloveradio.org. Again, that's one word, firstloveradio.org. You scroll down to the Bible Talk picture, tap on it, and it'll take you to all of our programs. That's firstloveradio.org. So you can dive in, but you can also start listening today. You don't have to have heard the previous episodes. You can start from today and just listen to the messages that God has for us here. Now, we're here with Pastor Joe. Hi, Pastor Joe.
Hi, Bobby. Hi, Rich. Good to be with you again and studying God's Word.
Amen. Yes, it's nice to have you here as we go through Psalm 51. And we've come down now to verse 15, which reads, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise.
Now again, this is so uplifting because it indicates that we can ask God to help us praise Him and witness to others as He's asked us to. Sometimes we're shy, or maybe we're busy, just very, very busy in our day, or maybe you're reserved by nature. It can be hard for us to witness to others what we know of the Lord and the gospel. So isn't that exciting and encouraging that this indicates that we can go to God to be able to help us to do that?
One of the lessons we learn from Psalm 51, Bobby, is to keep up on our relationship with God so that we are qualified to serve God and to worship God properly. And both of those things, serving God and worshiping God, were greatly hindered in David's life because of a guilty conscience. So the conscience is everything to God. If you read the book of Hebrews, chapter 7 through 10, that describes the ministry and function of the high priest, and it brings out how Jesus is our high priest, the main reason why we need a high priest as Christians is for our conscience to be purified by the blood of Jesus Christ so that we can both serve God with a clear conscience and to worship God with a clear conscience. So David, as a believer in the Old Testament, has the same need as every believer in the New Testament to be effective in worshiping God so that our worship is pleasing to the Lord, and to be effective as those who serve God in sharing the gospel and in helping other people. We need to have a clear conscience. And so David could not go on in his life with a business as usual attitude unless he dealt with the wounds and snares of his conscience that needed to be dealt with. And so he cried out to God in prayer. He put his trust in the Lord until the Lord purified his inner man. And the testimony of that is when finally, at the end of this process that we have described in Psalm 51, God sent Nathan the prophet to David to tell him this parable, this story about the rich man who had many lambs and the poor man only had one lamb. And the rich man took the poor man's lamb and slaughtered it. And he transferred that analogy to David and said, look, you have many wives, but Uriah only had one wife, and you still wanted his wife when you had many wives. But in spite of that heinous, terrible sin of murder and adultery, God, through Nathan the prophet, said to David, your sin is forgiven you. After he told him, you are the man. And then David penned Psalm 51, which describes the intimate struggle of the believer to reobtain a clear conscience after we sin. And therefore, God is emphasizing the great importance of you and I as believers to not hurriedly go through our day and superficially examine ourselves, read a verse, and say a two-second prayer. We are to read the Word until the Word, as it becomes a searcher of the thoughts and intents of the heart, exposes our sin. We keep reading the Word until God deepens a sense of godly sorrow for that sin, leads us to confess it and repent of it, and then turns our attention to Christ. For us to remember that we have a high priest who is seated in the heavenlies, a minister of the new covenant, who releases his blood by faith in him to wash away the impurities of our life. And that restores us to that place of serving God effectively and worshiping God effectively with a clear conscience. And that's the background of Psalm 51, as we look at it from both a New Testament perspective and an Old Testament perspective. The bottom line is we need a priest, we need the blood, and we need the sacrifice. Those three things, the entire Levitical economy through the activities of the priests offering up animal sacrifices in the temple, all of those services and activities in the temple signified and pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has shed his blood to actually provide a clear conscience in the lives of believers so that we can serve and worship as we should.
And you know, as you mentioned, when Nathan the prophet declared to David, "Thou art the man." You know, these sins are not hidden before God. And David recognized that when he said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." He recognized that God knows everything, and we can't hide these sins, that it's out, you know, before the Lord. The Lord knows about our secret sins or obvious sins.
Well, sin is against God primarily. We can sin against each other. But ultimately, our sin is an affront. It is an abomination to God. Because what is sin? It's a violation of the law. It's rebellion against God's law. So the guilt comes from sinning against God and breaking God's law. And that is what needs to be removed, that sense of guilt, because we've offended a holy God who demands obedience to his word. We need to keep up on that confession and cleansing process every single day, or it tends to weaken us incrementally, little by little over time, until we get to the point that we have nothing to give God, no heart for worship, and no zeal and boldness for service.
Now, if there's anything positive in that process, we can almost look at it as a positive thing when we do have a guilty conscience, because as non-believers, we can pass it off. We can make excuses for ourselves, rationalizations for ourselves for having done this or that, or say it doesn't harm anyone. But when you're a child of God, isn't it the Holy Spirit, that guilty conscience that we have, that brings us shame and makes us want to maybe even stay away from God? The positive thing is that's part of the process to bring him back.
Yes, there are two agents of God to bring us back to himself, or at least initiate the process. The first is the conscience. When you and I were not believers, when we were unsaved, our conscience was marred by sin. It was greatly weakened, and we rationalized and made excuses. We were accused by conscience, and we made excuses for sin. But once you and I became Christians, God sensitized our consciences so that now more than ever before, as an unsaved person, our consciences are very sensitive to sin, both big sins and little sins. And God has blessed us by renewing our conscience and developing it and purifying it so it runs at a very, very high level. The second agent of God is the Holy Spirit, as God's representative. Convicts us of our sin. And when he has come, that is the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. And so the Holy Spirit is God's ordained agent to convict us of everything we need to be convicted about. And so between the conscience and the Holy Spirit, we have a tremendous reminder of our responsibilities before God on a daily basis. God will not leave us alone through conscience and through His Spirit until we get right with Him. He will make us totally miserable. And that's what occurred in the life of Jeremiah. Jeremiah got so discouraged with not seeing any converts by preaching for years and years and years with tears. He was called the weeping prophet, by preaching and preaching without seeing any responses on the part of the Israelites. They hardened their hearts against God. And he finally got to a point where he said, I'm not going to preach anymore. I'm not going to prophesy anymore. I'm not going to warn these wicked rebels, the Jews, anymore. So he stopped crying out. And the Bible says that he got to a point where his bones were ready to explode because he wasn't going to speak anymore. And that's what happens to us in a similar way. When God speaks to us and we don't repent of our sin, when He convicts us through conscience, through the Word, and through the Holy Spirit of our sin, and we don't do anything about it, we don't repent and trust in Christ for cleansing, we're going to explode. That's how we feel. And so verse 15 is a wonderful verse that ties two critical things together that we've already looked at in verses 12 and 13. He ties, first of all, where he says in verse 15, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. In the first place, we already looked at in verses 12 and 13, the restoration of a believer to a place of service and usefulness in the kingdom of God through repentance. So verse 15 says, open my lips and my mouth shall show forth your praise. How can we open our lips and show forth God's praise as we share the gospel with unsaved people if we have this guilty conscience? And the other side of that, the second thing that God is talking about, is verses 16 and 17. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. So the second aspect is that of worship. What kind of worship does God desire? He desires worship in spirit and in truth through the holy life of a believer who has a clear conscience. If we just go through the motions of worship, as these Jews did, thinking that if they sacrifice animals on the altar in abundance, God will be pleased with them, God says, no, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a contrite heart. These are the things that God wants us to sacrifice first. He wants us to make sure that our hearts and our consciences are pure before God. He says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
You're listening to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe, Joe Jackowitz, and we'll return to our program in just a moment, so don't go away. There's much more to come. Pastor Joe is the president of First Love Ministries and pastor of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. Now, perhaps you've got a question you would like to ask Pastor Joe, or a comment you would like us to share on an upcoming episode of Bible Talk. Well, you can do just that by simply emailing us. Here's the email address, firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. Again, firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. You can also mail in your request to First Love Radio, P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. Or simply tap on the Contact Us tab on our website, firstloveradio.org, and ask your question there. Be sure when you contact us to indicate that it's for the program Bible Talk. We'll repeat this information at the end of our program, but for now, let's rejoin Rich, Bobby, and their talk with Pastor Joe.
God is talking about sharing the gospel, serving Him in verses 12 and 13, and also worshiping Him properly in verses 16 and 17. We can't do those two things and open our mouths to show forth His praise without a clear conscience. And so David is saying that if God restored him, he would sing and praise God in a way that he would be a true worshiper and a true witness of God. You see, the Bible says, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. We will have mercy in a thousand ways. We will have God dispense his grace and mercy upon us in 100 ways if we confess our sin. But if we continue to cover our sin, we will not prosper in the ways of the Lord. We will not have a heart and a conscience to serve him and to worship him as we should. We read in 1 John 1, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. What a wonderful promise this is. A promise of God to bring a wandering believer back into the sheepfold of service and of true worship. God promises that if we confess our sin or repent of our sin, He's faithful and just. That is based on the attributes of God's faithfulness and justice to keep his promise to forgive and to cleanse. He will cleanse us not just of some sins, but of all sins. He'll cleanse us of all unrighteousness. How will he do it? One verse before in the context I read says that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us of all sin. The cleansing that comes from confession is based upon the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. That blood will penetrate to the very core and center of who we are and will produce peace with God, a testimony and a witness of being cleansed from the inner man, whereby the Holy Spirit will remind us not only that we are his children, but that all of our sins have already been forgiven, and he will restore and reunify us with God in fellowship and in holy communion.
You know, throughout this talk, looking at Psalm 51, you've used the word witness. To those that may not be familiar with what it means to be a witness, what is witnessing? Is it a temporary assignment or a way of life?
It's a way of life. We are witnesses of God. Jesus said, "You are my witnesses." He also taught us in Romans that we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beg the world to be reconciled through us. So we are ambassadors, we are representatives, we are witnesses of God, and we bring the gospel to people, the good news of salvation. We share the word of God with people, and in doing so, we witness to them through the word of God and through our godly lifestyle, our behavior, that God is true, and that he wants them to be saved by putting their trust in Jesus Christ. So we are witnesses of God. Once we become Christians, we are, for the rest of our lives, witnesses. We grow in our knowledge of the gospel, we grow in holiness, and we become greater witnesses so that we bear fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. As John 15 talks about, that God has ordained us that we should go and bring forth fruit, and that our fruit should remain. So as witnesses, we grow in holiness and in our knowledge of the gospel, so we can increase the amount of fruit, the amount of people who would be impacted, leading to their salvation, and if they are already saved, that our witness and testimony would encourage them and inspire them to live holier lives than they already are as Christians.
One thing I love so much is that God is, as we learn in the Bible, has given us, every one of us, the responsibility of being this witness to him and to his glory and to salvation in Jesus Christ. And so we have this responsibility to do it. And as I was talking before, we may fall short on that because we feel like we're shy or we're busy or reserved. We're afraid to go forth and be this witness. But God provides means. He provides the tool. Like David goes to him and says, "Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise." So we can look to God to supply us with the tools to be able to do what he wants us to do.
The Bible describes believers as the light. He says, you are the light of the world. And he says that we are as God's lights to shine forth with our witness and testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, both in the spoken word of God and in a godly lifestyle. If our light dims, he says, we don't light a lamp and put it under a bush or under a table. We put it on top of the table so that the light shines forth in the whole house. When we fail to keep up with repentance on a daily basis, as David did, he is taking his gospel light and he's putting it under a table. He's diminishing it, he's darkening it, he's flickering his light. So that's why it's important for us to go to Christ every day as believers and remember that Jesus died to sanctify us, not only to justify us and to reconcile us to God in salvation and the forgiveness of sins, but also as Christians, he died on the cross, and his death includes the washing and purification of our hearts through his blood, which sanctifies us, which matures us in the Christian life. And that's critical. Every day, it's critical for us to repent of sin, to search our hearts, and ask God, as I do constantly, search me and try me, and see if there be any wicked way in me. King David cried out. He says, you want me to know truth in the inward parts. So it's in the hidden inwardmost parts of our hearts that we are to search our hearts and we are to read the word and hide the word in our heart that we might not sin against him. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. In Hebrews 4, it talks about the word of God being living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and as a searcher of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So through repentance and through the word of God, searching our heart, bringing the word in as deep as we can get it, and through repentance, then through believing in Jesus Christ for our daily cleansing and washing through his shed blood, we will be restored to that place of great usefulness as witnesses, as well as intense, fervent worshipers of God, where we have a heart for God. We love to worship instead of sitting around feeling like a guilty hypocrite all day long.
Then when we do witness and say, thus saith the Lord, in other words, declare to others what the Bible says God is saying, isn't that a serious responsibility to be faithful in what we say and how we say it? Even like this program, Bible Talk, don't we need to be sure that it is God who is speaking and not just we ourselves?
Yes, indeed. It's very important that we share the Word of God and that we know the Word of God. So our accurate sharing of the gospel will give us confidence that we're not speaking our word, but God's word. But we need to be faithful witnesses, too. We need to share the word through lifestyle and through speaking to others every single day in one word or another. There's ways to do it, and we need to do it in God's strength through our daily walk being renewed through repentance and through faith. Faith in Jesus Christ to pour out a fresh dose of cleansing into my heart.
And then once you do have faith in Jesus and he saves you, there enters the Holy Spirit, right? Can you talk a little bit about his place in our life and in our being able to do what God wants us to do?
The Holy Spirit, Bobby and Rich, is indispensable to the Christian life. We're told in the scriptures that he is the teacher and that he is the comforter. So there's an objective and a subjective part to the Holy Spirit's role in our lives. As the comforter, he comes into our hearts afresh. He's already there as the first fruits of our salvation in our hearts to seal and guarantee our ultimate salvation, to seal us as the guarantee of our salvation, and to keep the purchased possession of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died to fully and completely save us in the end. But also, we're told that he's the teacher. So he takes the Word of God as we read and study it objectively, and he helps us understand it. And he helps us apply it in a way that's very wise, in a way that's very timely, in a way that relates to the situation. so that people cannot escape the implications of the Word of God when we share it with them. So the Holy Spirit is our teacher, our comforter. The Bible says we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, do not be drunk with wine. Don't be intoxicated with substances, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So God, through the refilling of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, gives us a sense of joy that the Holy Spirit produces boldness in us. The joy of the Lord, the reminder that there's no condemnation, drives us forward to boldly proclaim the word to other people and therefore not worry about what they're going to say or what they're going to do. The Holy Spirit taking away the fear of man from our hearts, replacing it with the fear of God, the reverential desire to obey God. And God says, do not fear him which kills the body, but fear him which both kills body and soul in hell forever. The Holy Spirit renews joy so that we go forth boldly and proclaim the word, proclaim the good news of salvation in a way that we don't care about what people think or say.
And you know, when the word is proclaimed, there's responsibility twofold for those that are proclaiming the word to be faithful to God's word, but also in the receiving of God's word. Our Lord said that he would send a comforter and he would lead you into all truth. But also, here the Apostle Paul is proclaiming God's word in Berea. And the Bereans received the word with all readiness of mind, but then there's that challenge to search the scriptures to see if these things are not so. So to be faithful in proclaiming the word, but also to check it out, to search the scriptures to see if these things are not so. Can you speak to that?
Such a good point.
Yes, our lives revolve around the Word of God. We both proclaim it, but we have to take it in. If you're going to feed others, you yourself need to be fed. And the Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow by it. The Bible says that we need to continue in feeding upon the Word so that we don't revert back to babyhood. He says in Hebrews, by this time you ought to be teachers. But you need someone again to come and teach you the first principles of the oracles of God. Why? Because they stopped reading the Word. They ceased assimilating the Word of God. They stopped meditating on the Word of God, which would have, if they meditated on it, instead of just reading a quick verse or two or a quick daily bread or two, if they took much of the Word in, it would have filled them up. It would have given them God's thoughts about every situation throughout the day so that they would interpret reality. They would have God's perspective everywhere they go. So the Word of God is important. The Bible says in John 16, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you of things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So the Word of God is a critical means of sharing the message of salvation with people. If we don't share the Word, if we don't share the gospel, they won't get saved. How shall they hear without a preacher? But the Word of God also is critical in us feeding upon it, so that we can be spiritually strong and nourished, so that we can go and share it with others. But the Holy Spirit, we learn, is the one in this great mystery who takes the Word of God and glorifies Christ through that Word in the hearts and minds of people. The Holy Spirit, who's called the Spirit of Truth, because he takes the truth, the Word of God, and he applies it to the minds of people. He illuminates the understanding of people so that they can understand God's will, they can understand the gospel, and they could have a heart to love God and to want to be saved.
Interesting conversation around provoking questions and answers to help us search the scriptures and grow in our walk with Christ. If you would like to ask questions of Pastor Joe or share your comments, you can contact us by email, firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. Again, that's firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. You can also write to us at First Love Radio, Post Office Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94537. 1-800-662-6868. Or simply go to our Contact Us section on our webpage to ask your question. Again, we're delighted to have you join us today. We would encourage you to come back and invite a friend to listen to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe.